You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I love what it means when we think about the resurrection. It means that thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. What's He given us the victory over? He's given us the victory over sin, that idea of sin, that we're no more to be held in bondage. We can have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. That resurrection means that we can have power over sin, but then also power over death. You know, the most saddest funerals I go to are the ones where people have no hope, right? And we have hope of eternal life. They read the verse up there, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross, that whosoever, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, today the message really is that every single person in this building today can walk out of here today knowing of a certainty by what the scripture says, by what the truth says, not religion, not denomination, but by what Jesus says, that every single one of us can walk out of here today. If we grab a hold and believe the truth, every single one of us can walk out of here today assured of eternal life with Jesus Christ by our belief in Him. You know, today, if you would, turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28, in the seat bottom in front of you, there are some Bibles. You can grab one of those. If not, just listen. But Matthew chapter 28, we're going to be in verse, we'll start in verse 1, and we'll be in 27 a little bit as well. But today, the title is The Empty Tomb and the Unstoppable Truth. The Empty Tomb and the Unstoppable Truth. Today we celebrate Easter, the day death was defeated and the truth was revealed. The tomb was guarded, lies were spread, but nothing could stop the risen Savior. Jesus Christ rose just as He promised He would, proving His power, fulfilling God's word, and offering the only, notice that, the only way to salvation. There are not many ways to salvation. There is one way. Make no doubt about it. And today we will look at that. We will look at that truth as we look at the resurrection of the Savior for all who believe. Let's pray and we'll dive right in. Lord God, I love You. And I pray today for Your strength, clarity, and word. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit mixed with the words of truth, Lord, that our eyes would be open. And that way we would behold the truth and that we would accept it and receive it, not just on the outside, but on the inside where You see our hearts. Lord, today, may You save every person in here because they believe, Lord, on the inside. Lord, and bless those who have already chosen to believe, but maybe there are those here today that have not believed. I pray that they would today accept You as their Savior. Believe that You are only the only way for the forgiveness of sins, and for eternal life. Lord God, work in ways that we cannot see today. Lord, tug on the hearts as only You can. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. As we jump in today, I do want to say thank you if you're here, a guest visiting us. You could have went anywhere. You could be doing anything. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for making time to come. And I promise what you're going to hear today is God's word. It's His truth, not mine, not ours, but His. You know, as we left off Friday, Jesus was placed into the tomb. He was crucified on the cross. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Jesus took the payment of all the world's sin upon Himself. Remember when we talked about that cup? He drank that cup in the garden. He said, Father, please let this cup pass from Me. What cup is that? It was the cup of the sin of the world. He drank it all. It's your sin. It's my sin. And then as He gave up His last breath, He said, it is finished. He took it all. He took it all. A person will never die and go to hell because of their sin. Take that to the bank. You will only go to eternal separation from God in hell if you reject God's means by which your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Today, as we look at the resurrection, there were those that tried to hide it. There were those that tried to stop it. And number one, as we look at the resurrection of the Savior, number one, the pointless plot. The pointless plot. There were those who tried to stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even after his death, Jesus' words troubled those who had condemned him. They could not escape the truth he proclaimed in the synagogues, and his message lingered, piercing their heart and their mind moment after moment. The Bible would tell us in Matthew chapter 27, if you have a Bible and you'd like to look at it, Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, those who literally crucified Jesus, his words rang out in their mind and in their heart continually, minute after minute, hour after hour. Now it would be Saturday, right, for them as we look at this verse. Verse number 62, it says, now the next day following the day of preparation, this is the day after Jesus Christ was taken down off the cross and buried in the tomb. The chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Notice what they said. They said, saying, sir, we remember. Oh, what are they remembering? Oh, what are they remembering? Look at what they're remembering. Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. They remember the very people who crucified Jesus, the very people that were saying, crucify him, couldn't get his words out of their heart and out of their mind. Just constantly. And here they're confessing that to Pilate. They're confessing it because they want to stop it. They want to stop the truth. They're trying to stop the inevitable. As Jesus spoke the words of truth during his earthly ministry for all to hear, we are reminded what the prophet Isaiah says. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God's word will not return void. Every single person in this room today that hears God's word, it's coming forth to you for a purpose and for a reason. And just like it came to them for a reason, it comes to us today for a reason. His word goes forth to save for those who will believe the word. And his word comes forth to condemn those who reject the word. But his word will not return void. And we see that his word was in their heart and in their mind, but they just wanted to reject it. They just wanted to stop it. Now, these very men who rejected the truth are tormented by it, unable to escape the consequences of their own denial. The Jesus' words just keep bringing out the third day. So you know what they're going to try to do? They're going to try to stop the resurrection. How do you think that's going to go? Notice their pointless plot in verse number 64, chapter 27. Command therefore the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Right here in this verse, they're telling you the plot. Go get some Roman soldiers, put them to guard the tomb, put the seal on the tomb, and then cover a rock with the tomb to ensure that, hey, the resurrection won't happen. They're found to be fighting against God. God the Father, they are found to be fighting against him. They are trying to prevent the very thing Jesus told them would happen. This is their will versus God's will. Who do you think will win? Do you think their plan will win? These men are now trying to stop what they knew to be true but refused to accept. There are even people in here today that would even say, hey, I believe it to be true, but I don't want to accept it. Their pointless plot is to try to prevent the resurrection of the Savior. Look at verse 65. Pilate saith unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Sealing the stone and setting a watch. Hey, they gave them Roman soldiers. They set the stone. They sealed the stone. That means they took the signet, the signet of the Roman Empire, putting it on the outside of the stone and say, hey, if anybody moves this, you're going to deal with the whole entire of Roman armies. And then they put a stone over the tomb. These men are fighting against God, but who's going to win? Two guards, a sealed tomb, the stones marked with the king's signet. It was all in vain. These were their attempts to hide the truth. Jesus reminds us in Luke by saying, in Luke 12:2, it says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear, in the closet, shall be proclaimed upon the housetop." What's he saying? God sees what we say and what we do in secret. And most importantly, God sees and knows what we believe in the secrets of our heart. Why all this effort? These men are trying to hide the truth. But can I say this to you? The truth always comes out. The truth always comes out. And in this case, literally, the truth is getting ready to bust out of the tomb. Point number two, the promised resurrection. The promised resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, we see his promise overpowered man's efforts. His promise overpowered man's efforts. Man, in all of his efforts, tried to stop God's will from happening. But can I say to you, it's futile. It's futile. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, it says, "And in the end of the Sabbath," okay, it's coming towards the dawning of the day, right? As it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, we see Mary Magdalene and the other Mary show up at the sepulcher, verse number 1, and then verse number 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." A great earthquake, "for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow." We see the power of just one angel of God showing up on the scene. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So I want you to notice that, because that's important. We'll tie back into that later. But the keepers, the Roman soldiers, those who were guarding the tomb, they're seeing everything that Mary and Mary Magdalene saw. They're seeing the same things. They're hearing the same words. They did all they could to stop the truth, but it was pointless. The earthquake, the stone rolled away, the angel descended, and at best, all of man's efforts were futile to stop God's will. I think about Isaiah 43:13. It says, "Yea, before the day was, I am he," talking about himself, "and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work," he says, "and who shall let it?" Basically, God is saying, once I put something into motion, who has the power to stop it? Who has the power to stop the sun from orbiting the earth? Who has the power to stop what God has put into motion or to reverse it? Nobody, he says. Nobody. They're literally trying to change what could not be changed. Because if you remember, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord had already had a plan for our sin, that promised seed. And I love how Scripture refers to Jesus as the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Nothing could stop it. Nothing. The whole entire world will someday try to stop Jesus Christ in a futile effort. And just with the very words of his mouth, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We can have a heart in our heart now all we want, but guess what? There is coming a day where we have no choice but to bow before him. And my prayer and hope is that we have a desire now to bow before him before later to be forced to bow before him. Because it's a humbling of our pride. See, in order to bow before the Lord now, we have to admit our way is wrong and His way is right. And our flesh doesn't like that. And so you know what we do? We rebel against the truth. We deny the truth. As Christians, though, we should take courage that no one can keep Jesus Christ from keeping His word to us. The promise was fulfilled no matter at man's expense. Man could not stop God's promise. I think about Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, He cannot lie, promised before the world began. See, we've had many people in our life make promises to us only to have those promises broken. But guess what? God will never lie to us. God will never break His promise to us. He gives us His word on it. And I like how it's not contingent upon how good or bad you are, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, the Bible says. The only good that we can do is in Him and through Him. We must come to the end of ourselves and realize, as the scriptures say, that our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to Jesus' righteousness. And I love the hope that we have. If God makes a promise to us, guess what's going to happen? He's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. I love what Romans 8:35 says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate you? Who can rip you out of God's hands? I love what John chapter 10, verse 28 through 30 says, that I am in my Father. You are in my hand, and I am in my Father's hand. No man will take you out of my Father's hands. You know, sometimes you hear Christians say, I'm just trying to hold on to the Lord. Brother, you got it all wrong. He's holding on to you. You're just resting in the palm of His hands. No one will ever separate us. Hey, who can separate you? Not even death now can separate us, because even in death, we're with Him for all of eternity to live. But I like how he goes on to say, not just the things of this world, whether it's persecution, famine, nakedness, sword, death, or life. He goes on to say that nothing outside of this world can keep us from Him. Not principalities, not powers, not things present, nor not things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. See, we must accept the truth. God is not one universal. God, the only way to Him is through Jesus Christ. It is not we all worship the same God through all these different denominations. There is only one. And the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, he says, Jesus. Jesus, it's not through religion. It's only through Jesus. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. We see the promise, His promise overpowered their efforts to hinder the resurrection. But then we see His promise resurrection fulfilled. Look at verse number 5 of Matthew 28. This is what the scripture says. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. He is risen. You know, here's the thing. History proves both those who reject Jesus as God and those who believe, history proves, it's in history, that there was a man named Jesus. Both those who believe and those who reject, that there is a man named Jesus that also died on the cross. That is not disputed. The question is, did He rise from the dead? That's where the element of faith comes in at. See, we all put our faith in something. God gives every man a measure of faith. Some put it in themselves for salvation. It's not faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith. It's the object of our faith. And for those whose object of their faith is at Jesus Christ and Him alone, the Bible says, we shall be given the gift of eternal life. Not because of what we did. Not because we're good. Because we're not. But because He's good. I love the proclamation here, as the angel said, He is risen. And I like the next words, as He said. as he said. You can take everything that God's word says and you can take it to the bank. There is nothing that is spoken in God's word that will not come true. Oh, I love it. As he said, come see the place. And I like how they're hearing the words. Now they're invited to see the empty tomb. I like verse 7. It says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. I have told you. So they're hearing the testimony. They are hearing the testimony of the angels. And in a moment, all of their grief gone and excitement and anticipation at the hope of Jesus being risen from the dead. Can you imagine the hope and the anticipation? But I can relate to that hope. I can relate to that anticipation. The angel boldly proclaimed, he is risen for all to hear. Mary, and I want you to think about this thought. Both Marys heard the same thing that those guards heard. They both heard, the truth is out. He is risen. Our Savior lives. They heard it, but they had not yet seen it. They heard it, but they had not yet seen him. Just as we believe now and wait with eager anticipation to see him, I like what Job said in Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter end upon the earth, and that though after my skins worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I shall see God. Hey, will you see him because of the belief in him? These words remind us that while we may only hear about him now, there was over 500 people that are eyewitnesses to his resurrection. And history tells us that to be true. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it reminds us. But see, Mary heard, but now Mary is about to see. Mary came to the tomb heartbroken, but left in wonder at the words, he is risen. He is risen. They came broken, heartbroken at the tomb, not really comprehending that their Savior was going to be risen, but now they're walking away with great joy. Look at verse number 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher once they heard that angel's words, right, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. They're going to tell everybody the good news. And she has only heard he was risen, but now she is about to see the truth with her own eyes. Look at verse number 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, who met them? What does it say? Jesus met them. Jesus met them first, these ladies, and then in John chapter 20, in the upper room, Jesus himself appears before the disciples. Then on the road to Emmaus, he appears again, and yet to 500 people. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. If there be no resurrection, then we are of all men most, most miserable. Most miserable. But they see Jesus with their own eyes. They didn't just hear his words. Now they're seeing him. See, this is the end of our faith who believe. Faith ends for us when we come into the presence of Jesus, because someday we will stand before him, whether we believe or not. We will stand before him. Let us be those that stand before him and believe in our heart. Let us be those who are willing to confess now with our mouth the truth, because it goes on to say, it says, saying all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. She didn't just hear the risen Savior. She saw him, and one day we will too. We see the pointless plot to stop the resurrection. They couldn't stop it. We see the promised resurrection, but because they couldn't stop the truth, Because they couldn't stop the truth, notice number three, their pernicious plan. Their pernicious plan. And should I say, really, this is the enemy's plan, the plot. The Bible would tell us that he was a liar from the beginning. He goes about to lie, to steal, kill, and destroy. Their pernicious plan, because they were unable to overpower the risen Savior in the power of man's ability, they now turn to lie about him. Notice the truth that they saw. Notice the truth they saw. Look at verse number 11. Now when they were going, and who's seeing this truth? It's the guards. It's the guards. And even probably the Pharisees that went back to verify their words, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. You know what they're doing? They're telling everybody what they saw. These were those guarding the tomb. These were those trying to stop the resurrection from happening. Now what they're doing is going back to say, we couldn't, we failed, the tomb's empty, the angel proclaimed, he's risen. And we actually saw it. We saw it. We saw the angel. We heard the words. They're going back now to tell others that. And showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. They saw the same truth Mary saw, but refused. They refused to believe it. B, notice this, the truth, not just that they saw, but now the truth that they tried to hide. Look at verse number 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they told the elders what had happened. And now the elders are beginning to panic because their plan didn't work. And you know what they did? The Bible says they gave large sums of money unto the soldiers. Basically, they tried to bribe them to hide the truth. Give you large sums of money. They gave these men large sums of money to hide the truth. Basically, these soldiers had the truth, but they sold it for some money. They sold it. The love of money is the root of what? All evil. The love of money, not money, the love of money. They're willing literally to sell the truth for just a few dollars. But we understand they saw the truth. They know it to be true. Now they're trying to hide the truth. But then notice, not just hiding the truth, they tried to replace the truth. They tried to replace the truth with a lie. Hey, believe this instead. It's more palatable. Who wants to believe it? That's a hard truth to accept. And in order for us to accept it, man, it's us causing to have to humble ourselves and to admit we are wrong. And he was right. Look at the truth they tried to replace. Look at verse number 13. It wasn't just keep silent. It's tell them this instead. Look at verse 13 saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away. Hey, replace the truth with a lie. This is what they're saying. Replace the truth with a lie, saying his disciples came by night and stole him away while they knew it was a lie. They're trying to replace the truth with a lie. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. Listen to this. They didn't reject the truth because it was unclear. They rejected the truth because it was uncomfortable. In order for them to believe the testimony of Jesus, you know what it would mean? That they would have to admit that they were wrong, that they crucified the Son of God just like he said he was. In order for us to accept the gift of salvation, we must acknowledge that our way is wrong and that his way is right. It's uncomfortable because it goes against everything that is in us. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We'll generate all sorts of ways to save ourselves, but Jesus says, I am the only way. And we don't want to believe it because it's hard for us, because it causes us to humble ourselves and say, God, I'm wrong. We don't like it. We want to do anything we can because it's uncomfortable. They replaced the truth, not because there wasn't enough evidence. There is enough evidence. History proves it. There was plenty of evidence. But because there was too much responsibility, I was wrong. I was wrong. The truth meant bowing to Jesus as the Son of God. And remember why they rejected him: out of envy and jealousy. So you know what they did? They traded it for a version that felt safer and easier to accept. They traded the truth for a lie that was more palatable for them to digest, because they did not want to accept it, which ultimately left to them. They finally got to the place where they denied the truth outright. It makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. And I got hung up on that verse for a while. How can the devil blind the eyes of Christians from being able to see the truth? And I realized I wasn't reading the whole verse. Because the next three words explain to us that those people, that eyes who have been blinded to see the truth, have already rejected the truth. The very next three words, when it says, in whom the God of this world, we know the God of this world, being Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not. Which believe not. See, a person must first come face to face with the truth, and then when confronted with the truth and having the opportunity to believe, then rejecting the truth, the Bible says, God turns them over to a reprobate mind, because they choose willfully to reject the truth even though they know it to be true in their heart. And the Bible would say, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, God is Christ in the form of man, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They denied the truth outright. Verse number 15, and they took money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. That lie, they've been trying to hide the truth throughout the centuries. They've been trying to hide this lie. But you know what? The truth always comes out in the long run. The empty tomb was too powerful to overlook, so they chose to distort and deny it. And to this day, people still try to explain away what they cannot overcome. We try to explain away this world, and we'll chalk it up to evolution. We'll try to explain away because we don't like the reality of the truth. It's not that the world can't find the truth. We have all the truth that God wants us to have right here in the pages of Scripture. It's not that we don't have it. It's that we don't want to submit to it. The truth of Scripture is not submitting to a religion or a denomination. It's submitting to Christ. You take the denomination off the sign and you take the religion away. It's not about that. It's about submitting ourselves to the truth of Jesus, which is in the Scriptures. Which is in the Scriptures. It's not that the world can't find the truth. It's that it doesn't want to submit to it. And so it replaces Jesus with whatever feels easier to accept. I don't like the idea of Jesus, so I'll replace him with Muhammad. I don't like the idea of Jesus, so I'll replace him with Buddha. I don't like the idea of religion, so I'll replace him with Mother Mary. I don't like the idea of Jesus, so I'll replace him with a priest. I don't like the idea, I'll replace him with Mother Earth. I don't like the idea of Jesus, so I'll replace him with myself. Fill in the blank. Whatever it is, we try to replace Jesus with anything else. But Jesus says he is the creator of the universe. He alone is the one who gives life. He alone is the only one. We do not save ourselves. And whether we acknowledge this truth today and accept it as truth, or whether we find out in the end when the Lord comes back, either way, we will see the truth. And these men, unfortunately, they're not going to be on the right side of the truth. The question is, what side were you on? Are you building systems that avoid one central claim that he alone is the way? When you hear that, he alone is the way, he only is the way, what does it do in your heart? Because God sees your heart at this very moment. We accept it or reject it. It is not about religion. It's about the truth. And we can't change the truth. They've been trying to stop the truth for centuries, but the truth could not be stopped. It's a shame that the very people in which Jesus came to save rejected him. And you know, even to this day, there are people that Jesus still came to die for, maybe even in this room, that have the opportunity right now to accept him or reject him. Please don't be the one that rejects him. Be the one that accepts him. Be the one that says, God, your way is right and my way is wrong. Be the one who says, I believe that you are the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. Today, there is no middle ground. Either we rejoice in the risen Savior today as a church, or we deny his resurrection altogether. What side are you on? It is not Christ and something else. It is not Christ and religion. It is not Christ and a little bit of yourself. It is not Christ and a little bit of your good works. It is not Christ and anything else. It is Christ and Christ alone. And when we believe that, we take a side, because there is no middle ground. Well, I'm thinking about it. You're choosing not to. And today, Jesus came to seek and to save those which are what? Lost. You know, stands before you a broken, past, drug addict, immoral, wasted life of a man until Jesus came in and changed my life. You know, today we sometimes paint ourselves as something better than what we really are. And Jesus would say, I know what you really are. Man, let me save you today. You know, today as we reflect on Easter, my wife, she's going to come and she's going to sit at the piano. And as she begins to play, I want you to think about a few things today as we bring the service to a close. I want you to think about the first thing. The truth cannot be stopped. Truth is not relative. 2 + 2 will always be 4. No matter what the school system teaches, Jesus will always be Savior, and he will always be risen from the dead, regardless what the world says. A man will always be a man, and a woman will always be a woman, regardless of what culture says. The truth cannot be stopped. And so today we have a choice. Do we accept it, or do we believe it, or reject it? Where in your life are you resisting God's truth? Maybe today you've been resisting God's truth for salvation. I don't like to hear that he's the only way. There's a lot of different ways. Maybe that's how you've been rejecting the truth. Hey, I invite you during this time to say, God, forgive me for that. Maybe you've been rejecting the truth that God can give you power over your sin, over your addiction, over your stubborn habit. But you know what? Truth. It's not just that truth cannot be stopped, but God's promises will always come to pass. We will find out now, and we will believe it now by faith, or someday when we get to heaven and stand before him. God's promises will come to pass. Jesus promised he would rise as he did. God keeps his word. What promises of God are you trusting in today? See, the resurrection, while we've heard the story many times, the truth of God cannot be stopped. The promises of God will come to pass, and faith requires a response. When we hear God's word, you've all been confronted with the truth today. What you do with it is in your hands, not mine. I am not the author of what you do with the truth that is presented to you. All I am is as a voice. It's up to you with what you do with the truth. Faith requires a response. Have you fully placed your faith in Jesus? But then, stand steadfast in hope. I know many of the faces in here, and I know your testimony, and I know you trust Christ as your Savior. Hey, stand fast. Live with hope today. You have victory over death. You have victory over sin. It's time for us as Christians to start living like it. We live like defeated Christians sometimes, like the world's terrible and everything. No, no, no. Last time I checked, we're more than conquerors through Christ, the Bible says. No matter what comes our way, we need to start living like it. But then lastly, remember, deception will try to replace the truth, but it never can. The truth will always be seen for the truth. The world offers substitutes, but Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. You have all the truth you will ever need in the Bible. The question is, will you believe the truth? Those men and women that knew the truth, but they willfully rejected it, deceived because they didn't like the truth they heard. Let that not be us today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around as my wife plays the piano. Today, let's make some decisions for Christ. Maybe we need to stand fast. Maybe you're in here today and you know you believe, you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, but you don't have much hope today. You're not living in the hope of the resurrection. Hey, you have victory over death today. You have victory over sin today. It's time for you to start living like it. Maybe you're here today and you're really wrestling with the truth. You didn't like it. Hey, I get it. I get it. Sometimes the truth is against our fleshly nature. But if you're here today and you heard the truth and it's convicting in your heart, you know what the Lord is? He's drawing you right now. And he's saying, won't you call out my name? Won't you believe in me for your salvation? And today, if there's somebody here that would say, Pastor, I believe. Right now, you can call upon the name of the Lord in your seat. You could say, Lord Jesus, he sees your heart. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord Jesus, as best I know how, I believe that you died on the cross for me and rose from the grave for me. Lord Jesus, give me the gift of eternal life through my belief in Jesus Christ, your Son. You know what? Today, when I said to you, you can walk out today having the hope of eternal life, I meant it. Hey, Jesus meant it because he's the one that promised it. Do you trust him? Hey, today's so much more than just another Easter service. It's a reminder of the hope. Won't you trust him today? It's your choice. It is not mine. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd come as we pray. Father God, I come to you, Lord. And Lord, while the truth is sometimes hard to be accepted because it's against us in the sense that we have to humble our pride. We have to admit our way is not right and your way is. And Lord, except you draw a man, we cannot come. Lord, but I pray for those that heard the perfect truth today of your word. I pray that your word would stick within their heart in a good way. In a good way. That they would accept the truth. That they would put their faith in you and call out to you for their salvation. That they would believe in the hope of the resurrection. Oh, Father, do a work today that time will see. Lord God, I love you. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.